Hi, and welcome to Church Acadiana's podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out Church Acadiana live this Sunday in Broussard, Louisiana. Visit churchacadiana.com for service times, directions, and more about the ministry of Church Acadiana. Now, for years, I was a grumbler. I have been a grumbler, and I didn't know that I was doing anything wrong. For years, the way that I've handled it when people hurt me or frustrated me or angered me, the way I handled it, the way that I coped with that pain was that I went to a confidant, a friend, and I kind of just griped and complained and grumbled about, can you believe what old so-and-so did? Man, it just kills me the way they've been treating me, the way they've been acting. Golly, can you believe what they did? And so I've been a grumbler for years, didn't know there was anything wrong with it. Because after all, grumbling, it really is just a part of American culture. It's the way that we, both in the church and outside the church, grumbling is just a way of life. But the Lord began to get my attention about grumbling. And the way he first began to get my attention was with the way I felt after a grumbling, after a bashing session, after I spent some time bashing somebody behind their back. I felt horrible on the inside. I mean, I just felt this horrible, icky, depressed type of feeling. And so over time, the Lord began to open my eyes and say, that's called conviction, Andy. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That grumbling, that's wrong. It's against my will. It doesn't glorify me. It doesn't represent me. That's not the way I am. And so the Lord began to convict me, and so I began the process of repentance. And this has been going on for quite some time. At first, my response was, okay, so I'm still dealing with this. I was still dealing with this and trying to figure out the parameters and the boundaries. So at first I said, okay, so I just reserve these grumblings for my wife, to talk to, and maybe my parents, because you got to have somebody to talk to, right? You need to talk to somebody about these horrible situations. But then even then, the Lord, after a while, he said, Andy, no. Grumbling, just no. Off limits, it's never okay. This grumbling stuff is just not good for you or for your relationships. And so the Lord made it very clear where the line was for me. Just no grumbling. So I began to really repent then. And I noticed a couple of things as I began to repent of grumbling. First of all, I noticed that it's not very difficult. I mean, it's not very easy. If you've been doing something all your life, if that's the way you've been responding to hurt and to pain in a particular way all your life, and then suddenly stopping is not easy. Second thing I noticed about grumbling was once I started really trying to repent was how prevalent it is in our society. I mean, just everybody does it, which is one of the reasons why grumbling is so difficult to overcome, because everybody around you is grumbling. And so what do you do when somebody grumbles to you? How do you handle that? We're going to be talking about that in home group this week. How do you respond to that? How do you deal with that? How do you not get pulled into grumbling? Very, very difficult. Well, that's when it dawned on me, when I saw how prevalent grumbling is, that this is a forgotten vice. This is a forgotten sin, that just about everybody around me is grumbling, but they're not doing it because they're disobedient to God. They're doing it because this has become a part of American culture. Our culture has gotten so distanced from its original biblical roots, Christian biblical roots, that we've lost sight of a lot of virtues and a lot of vices, and they've just become acceptable behavior, and this is one of those. What is grumbling? What's wrong with grumbling? Isn't that just what everybody does? And so I began to see that there's a knowledge gap in the church, that this is an area that the church really, not just our church, I'm talking about Christians in general in America, this is an area where we really need some clear teaching. It's very, very crucial. So what I want to do this morning is teach you a lot of what God has been teaching me. First of all, what is grumbling? Second, what does the Bible have to say about grumbling? Third, why am I so motivated and fired up about this topic of grumbling, and why am I so motivated to repent? So first of all, what is grumbling? Hope you'll take some notes. To grumble is to express discontent, displeasure, or dissatisfaction about another person behind their back. To grumble is to express discontent, displeasure, or dissatisfaction about another person behind their back. It's to complain about somebody, to criticize somebody, to play armchair quarterback about somebody in their absence. The Greek word, a little Greek study, the New Testament was written in Greek, that original word for grumbling in the New Testament. The Greek word is gongousmos. Anytime you hear a word that sounds like that, you should know it's bad. Gongousmos. It's sometimes translated grumbling, sometimes complaining, but it's not in the way that the NIV used to translate it was with the word complaining. But as the English language changes, they've changed the word. It's a better translation. Almost all the translations that you'll find out there use the word grumbling. It's because it's not just any kind of complaining. It is complaining, but it's kind of a behind your back type of complaining. One Greek source defines it as a secret displeasure, not openly avowed. Another source defines it as behind-the-scenes talk. Another source says the word was used of those who confer secretly, of those who discontentedly complain. So to give you kind of a easier to understand example, grumbling is what happens at FedEx all day long, or all morning long when I'm there. People come in and out of the office where I work. It's kind of a common area. And I hear grumbling all morning long. Drivers complain about drivers. Drivers complain about their bosses, the contractors. The contractors come in and they gripe about other contractors and they gripe about the drivers who work for them. And then FedEx employees, they complain about FedEx itself and they complain about other employees. And we complain about managers and the managers come in and they complain about employees. And then they walk out the door and they see the person they were just grumbling about. Hey, how you doing? And they just keep walking, and it's this behind the scenes, this grumbling, this critical attitude, this complaining about people. To grumble is to express discontent, displeasure, or dissatisfaction about another person behind their back. I know none of y'all have ever done that, but just bear with me. This is therapeutic for me. What does the Bible say? Philippians 2, 14 through 15. You've heard this verse before. Philippians 2, 14 through 15, written by a guy named Paul. It was a letter. It's called an epistle written to the church that met in the city of Philippi. Great little letter, four chapters. He said in chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. You may have read that in a translation that says complaining or arguing. Again, but complaining doesn't quite get the meaning of the word because it's this behind-the-scenes type of complaining, behind a person's back, in their absence. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. We'll spend some time on that arguing or disputing or quarreling another time. Verse 15, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will what? Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. So first it says, do everything without grumbling. Do everything without grumbling. So don't grumble at home. Don't grumble at work. Don't grumble when you're on vacation. Don't grumble when you're on a date. Don't grumble at church. Don't grumble at school. Do everything without grumbling. Why? It says because you'll shine. If you will avoid grumbling, you will shine. You'll stick out. You'll stand out. People will notice a difference. Remember what your calling is as a Christ follower and why God created you. It's to glorify Him, which means God wants you to display the superiority of life in Christ. God wants you to display to the world the superiority of the Christian life, to everything else, to any alternatives. And that's what shining means. So he says, if you will avoid grumbling and set that aside and repent of that, this is a great opportunity to shine. You will stand out. People will notice a difference, and they'll say, why aren't you grumbling? Why aren't you responding like this? Why aren't you, how come you never bash the boss behind his back or the professor behind her back? How come you're never grumbling? Well, it's because in my faith, my relationship with God, he says that's not the way to handle conflict. That's not the way to handle my hurt and my frustration. There's a different way to handle it. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about this God of mine. Let me tell you more about this Jesus of mine. You will shine like stars. Now, why will you stand out? If you avoid grumbling, why will you stand out? Well, it's because people have always been the same. They were the same 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this, as they are today. Grumbling has always been the way that people respond to their pain and their hurt and their frustration. I would say that grumbling is America's first and favorite coping mechanism. Grumbling is just the knee-jerk initial action that we take, the initial response. We're inclined, it's a natural inclination to respond to hurt and anger and frustration. And when somebody annoys us and gets on our nerves and steps on our toes, the way that we naturally respond to it is we go and we grumble. We complain. We criticize them behind their back. We vent about them. We go bash them behind their back. That's just what we do. And so if you will not do that, you will really stick out. You'll stand out. How do employees cope with the boss who makes an unpopular decision? They grumble about him. How do managers cope with employees who don't perform to their expectations? Managers get together and they grumble about them. How do people cope with God when he allows bad things to happen or things that they don't agree with to happen? They go and they grumble about God. How do students cope with an impossible teacher? Well, they gather in the hallway by the lockers, or at UL, they just gather in the quad and they just bash that old bad professor, that impossible professor. How do citizens cope with politicians they don't like? They bash them. They grumble about them. How do church members cope with other church members who hurt them? That's easy. We grumble about each other. How do pastors cope with difficult church members? Well, as pastors, we get together and we call each other on the phone and we grumble about our church members. How do husbands and wives cope with unsatisfactory spouses? They go to other people outside their marriage and they grumble about their spouse. It's crazy, but that's just what we do in America. That's how we cope. We seem to think that that's good, that it's therapeutic. It's not at all. And that's what makes this such a wonderful opportunity to shine, to glorify God, because it's so prevalent in our culture. This is what everybody is inclined to do. And so if you don't do this, if you will avoid this, if people come to our church and they see this community here doesn't respond like everybody outside does. This community handles conflict and they handle their relationships and they handle the frustrations and disappointments and the offenses against each other. They handle them. They respond to them so differently. And so Paul makes it very clear, do everything without grumbling. Be a student without grumbling about your teachers. Be a patient without grumbling about your physicians. Be a wife without grumbling about your husband. Be a husband without grumbling about your wife. Be a church member without grumbling about other church members. Be a citizen without grumbling about your politicians. Let that sink in for a moment. You know what we call that today, grumbling about politicians? We call it talk radio. And since it's on talk radio, it's okay. It's not. Much of what goes on in talk radio shouldn't be done. I'm afraid it's, and listen, I'm not going to tell you who I love, which talk radio host I love. You would crucify me, but some of these guys, I really enjoy. They're so entertaining. A lot of the sports radio, that's what I listen to a lot on the way home from work. I listen to sports radio. Some of you are going to think, he's so shallow. I love sports radio. But a lot of what's going on there is just grumbling, bashing people behind their backs. Be a child without grumbling about your parents. Be a sibling, a brother or sister, without grumbling about your brothers and sisters. Do everything without grumbling. You got it? You understand what it means now, what the Bible says? Now, let me explain to you why this is such a big issue for me and how the Lord has really been working in my life and convicting me about this. Let me give you six reasons why I'm so motivated to avoid grumbling. Number one, grumbling intensifies my pain. This is what's so ironic about grumbling. I used to grumble because I thought it was therapeutic. It's kind of like eating McDonald's. At first, when it's going down, it feels so good. You know, and so that's why we eat it. But McDonald's is horrible for you. It's going to kill you one of these days, you know. Same thing with grumbling, you know. You grumble because it's like you're venting, you're letting off steam. But what I found is that if somebody hurt me, grumbling intensified my pain. It left me feeling even more hurt. If somebody frustrated me, then after I spent time venting about them, grumbling about them to somebody else, I felt even more frustrated. If somebody angered me and I would go bash them and grumble about them, not really bashing them, everything I'm saying is true, but I'm just grumbling about them, then I feel even more angry. But then I noticed that the quicker that I would just drop the issue or at least stop grumbling about somebody, the quicker that I would get over the pain of their sin. So grumbling intensified my pain. I don't like pain. Pain likers? Anybody? No. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so motivated. Number two, grumbling decreases trust. Trust is essential for relationships. It's the foundation of relationships. Now, if I come to you, Chad, and I grumble about Earl to you, now what makes you think that I'm not going to, whenever you annoy me, I'm going to go to Earl, that I won't go to Earl and grumble about you? Nothing. That's the point. Whenever you're around somebody and you hear them grumbling, alarms should go up, red flags should go up. Immediately you know, okay, I can love this person, minister to this person, but I can't fully trust this person. I'm going to have to, until this person grows and matures, I can't let this person be on my inner circle. I'm going to have to keep this person at arm's length. Because, you know, it's funny, but sad, but people who come to church, new people that come to church, Katie and all the time, their first impression is always love. Love at first sight, as is so understandable. But people come to church at Acadiana and they just love it and just, man, it's so awesome. And then as they're telling me, I just like this and this is great. And man, that guy Earl is just amazing up there singing and it's just love this place. And then what they do next is they start saying, man, my old church though, oh man, this was bad. And they start grumbling about their former church and their former church family. And then they start grumbling about their previous pastor and what a wicked man he was. And usually I know the pastor personally. And so as they're talking, I'm thinking, oh gosh, that pastor is so much holier than I am. And he's a better preacher than I am and a better leader than I am. And I'm thinking, oh goodness. I'm dying a slow death on the inside as they're grumbling about their former church, because I realize, you know what? If they can come to our church and grumble about all the faults and flaws of their previous church, and it's only a matter of time before they see the real me and before I don't live up to all their expectations and I make a decision that's unpopular, and they're going to turn around and grumble and gripe about me. And so what that tells me is I'm going to love this person, I'm going to minister to this person, but I've got to keep this person at arm's length. I can't quite let them close yet. Because why? Because I have to walk on eggshells. If you have to walk on eggshells around somebody, guess what? That's not a healthy relationship. You can't get close. That means you got to watch everything you say and everything you do, because you know if you do one little thing wrong, if you cross that person, you'll never hear the end of it. Or that will be the end of it, of your relationship. And so listen, I want people to trust me because I cannot impact them for Christ if they will not let me in. And so I don't want you to ever hear grumbling coming out of my mouth, because I don't want you to ever think, wow, Andy's really bashing so-and-so. He could probably bash me behind my back. Okay? So grumbling decreases trust. Number three, this one should be close to all of our hearts. Grumbling threatens the unity of the church. It threatens the unity of the church. Before our marriage, Lydia and I were advised, some of the best advice we ever got, before we got married, we were advised, never grumble about your spouse to your parents, your close family and friends. In other words, Lydia, never go to your parents or your brother or your best friend or your closest friends in the church and grumble about your husband and just how he's been annoying you and letting you down lately. Never do that. Why? Well, it makes a lot of sense. And by God's grace, we were able to take that advice and we just never did that. And it's only because somebody taught us that. We were blessed to be exposed to that teaching early on. But if Lydia were to go and to complain about me to her parents, that would totally impact our relationship, my relationship with her parents. We've heard so many nightmares about in-law and outlaw relationships, and we wanted to avoid all that. We want family unity and peace and harmony. But if Lydia were to complain about me to her parents would get very defensive quick. They love their daughter, and her dad would want to kill me, and her mother would really not trust me and not respect me. It would really affect our relationship. If Lydia complained about me to her brother, I would be in the hospital. And so we just learned, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, you know, the same thing goes for the church family. If we want to protect unity and harmony and peace, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:10. This is a command for us, y'all. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. In other words, be very careful to protect the unity of the church. I've said it many times. If we cannot get along, we cannot get things done. If the devil wants to put a stop to what God is doing in our midst, he doesn't have to get the leader to commit a horrible sin. He doesn't have to tempt you to sin or get you to have hard times in your life. All he has to do is get us to fight against each other. And that will stop a move of God just like that. That's why unity is talked about so much in the New Testament. And so when I go and I grumble about so-and-so to you, what that does is that influences your opinion of so-and-so. That changes the way you look at so-and-so, the way you relate to so-and-so. It might cause you to lose respect and to lose trust and even to get angry at old so-and-so for the way that they treated me. And then you might take what I told you and you might go grumble to your friend and say, you won't believe what Andy told me. He told me that old so-and-so did this and that to him. Can you believe it? Now there's like four or five people and it just grows who are mad about this person. And of course, this person's mad at me, so this person's grumbling to all their circle of friends. And you've got this huge chasm growing in the church. And so grumbling really kills the harmony and the peace and the unity of the church. You know, one of the most valuable things that you own, I don't know if you knew this, is your reputation. But whenever I go and I grumble about you to somebody, I'm taking your reputation and I'm dragging it through the mud. And I'm trampling on it. And I'm influencing the way everybody looks at you. I'm influencing your reputation. I have no right to do that. And so grumbling threatens the unity of the church. Number four, another reason why I'm motivated to avoid grumbling is that grumbling is cowardly. It's cowardly. I want to be a man of courage. I want to be a man who of bravery. And that's the way that God is. That's the man that God has called me to do. That's the man that God has called me to be. But I know that grumbling is weak. And it's wimpy. And grumbling is the opposite of courageous. Grumbling is like a whiny little baby, only it's even worse than that because you're not whining to the person who offended you. You're going behind that person's back in their absence, and you're whining, you're complaining, you're grumbling about that person. According to the Bible, the way to handle conflict, when somebody offends you, hurts you, is you go in person, in peace, to that person. In humility, in respect, seeking reconciliation. You don't go to that person to give them peace of your mind. You go to that person seeking reconciliation in love, one-on-one, in private. You don't go behind their back. You don't go whine about them. But that's very difficult, isn't it? To go face-to-face, to seek confrontation, that's very, very difficult. It takes a lot of courage. But grumbling is cowardly. Number five, grumbling is the fruit of pride. We talked a lot about pride the last couple of weeks. God wants you to be humble. You better be humble or God will humble you. But if pride is a tree, then grumbling is the fruit. You see, when you grumble about somebody, essentially what you're doing is you're placing yourself above them. You're saying, I'm better than old so-and-so. Now, if you're in my home group on Tuesday nights, we talked about this. It's going to be kind of a repeat. But when you grumble about somebody, you're saying you're better than them. What you're essentially saying is, I can't believe what old so-and-so did. Can you believe what they did? I would never do such and such. I mean, how were they thinking? How evil. What you're doing is you're saying, if I was in their shoes, I wouldn't have done that. I would have done the noble thing. I would have done the right thing. How could they have been so thoughtless, so foolish, so sinful if I were them? I would have done better. But thing is, you don't know what you would have done in their shoes because you're not in their shoes. You don't know what it's like to have their upbringing and their experiences and their weaknesses and their physique and their marriage and their kids and their financial situation and their job and their education and their level of intelligence and their knowledge of the Bible. You don't know what it's like to be them. And truth be told, what I've come to realize is that if I was them in their place, I probably would have made a worse decision. Now, the fact that they're in their shoes does not excuse their sin. But when you start looking at it like that, it does make you a lot less inclined to criticize and grumble and be angry with them. It makes you a lot more patient and forgiving and understanding of people when they hurt you. We grumble because we're proud and we put ourselves over people. I've come to become a lot less critical of people as I begin to look at my life this way, that very little of the good in my life is because of me. Very little is because of me. I am who I am today, and I have the success that I have today because I have a great wife. I really do. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't have got out the door this morning. I mean, you should have seen all the things she did for me before I left this morning at, you know, whatever time I left. I have a wonderful wife. I do have a wonderful church family. Wonderful church family. If it weren't for you guys, I wouldn't be up here right now. I have amazing parents, and I'm not just saying that to suck up. Don't forget. But what I had an advantage that most of you guys didn't have. I was raised in a strong Christian home. I mean, Christian parents who really lived the Christian life. My dad modeled biblical masculinity for me all growing up, from birth. My mom modeled biblical femininity for me all growing up. They modeled Christian marriage for me all growing up, from birth. They modeled church membership for me all growing up. They modeled tithing for me since before I was born. That's why that's second nature to me, but for a lot of you, it's a huge step of faith. They modeled conflict resolution, biblical conflict resolution. My dad, you know, modeled providing for the family, and I could go on and on. They discipled me from birth. Most of you didn't have that, did you? A lot of people, they grew up with abusive parents. They grew up with absent parents. They grew up with a father who didn't know what it meant to be a father. And so as I began to look at my life that way, over the past few years, I began to notice, wow, if I had their upbringing, I can't imagine where I'd be. I am where I am in large part because of the upbringing that I had. You see that? So you should actually put yourself in their shoes, and you won't be as much inclined to grumble. Grumbling is the fruit of pride. Number six, the sixth reason to avoid grumbling is because I've been warned. This might spook you guys, freak you out. In my personal relationship with the Lord has told me two things about grumbling as he's dealt with me about it. And I believe he's dealt with me about it so that he can deal with you about it. But the Lord has told me a couple of things about grumbling. This is for me personally. He said, first of all, he said, Andy, I care about you. I love you. You're my child. I'm more concerned with your character than I am with your comfort. I want you to be like Christ. Wow. You hear those motorcycles? So he said, listen. He said, when I convict you about grumbling, I want you to repent because it has nothing to do with me. It is so contrary to my heart and my character. He said, if I convict you about grumbling and you don't repent, two things are likely to happen to you. Number one, if you get all prideful and start grumbling about somebody, about how you would do better if you were in their shoes, I may put you in their shoes. I may put you in a similar situation so that you will be much more compassionate and forgiving and humble. For example, there's this lady at work who gets migraines. Her name is Angie. She gets horrible migraines. She's the receptionist. And when she gets migraines, she has to close the blinds, turn off the lights. She's done for the day. You can't really talk to her. It'd be very easy for me. I don't get migraines. I've never had one. Some of you have. I know several of you who get migraines. It'd be very easy for me, who's never had a migraine, to stand back and say, man, what a wimp. Listen, we've all got aches and pains. Get to work. Get to work. Work through it. You know, that's what I do with my pain. But the Lord has said, Andy, if you take that attitude with people, you might find yourself with severe pain, like a migraine, so that you'll become much more humble. You know, I was talking to my parents about this. My heavenly daddy, he spanks, and I'm thankful. He really wants me to learn. The second warning that I've got, so first one is that he might put me in their shoes. The second warning that the Lord is that if I grumble about people, he may remove them from my life. What I've noticed about my grumbling through the years is that I tend to grumble about the people who are actually God's biggest blessing to me. The people that God has put in my life, who care for me the most, who support me the most, whether it's family members, church members, who help me the most. But when they annoy me, I would go and I'd grumble about them. And what that is that's ungratefulness. That's me overlooking all the blessings that they are to me and taking them for granted. And the Lord has said, Andy, if you're going to take that ungrateful attitude with the people in your life, the biggest blessings in your life, and you're going to go behind their back and you're going to grumble about them, I may remove them from your life. I'm not going to kill them. I'm not going to kill you. That's not what that means. I might move them away from your church so that you can see what a big blessing they were. I might remove them from anywhere, you're from Lafayette area, out of town, so that you can see what a huge blessing they were and you can see your sin, that you were taking them for granted. And so the Lord has been very, very serious with me about this. And those are for me. I don't know if he'll tell you the same thing. But as I said, probably none of y'all deal with grumbling. This is probably just something that I deal with. And but listen, if you do feel a little conviction this morning, then I would pray that you would join me on this road of repentance and experience the joy, the true joy of a grumbling-free life. It is far superior, very difficult, only by God's grace. Doesn't make you more righteous. It's just you see your sin now and other people don't. But it is much more joyful and it is much more God-honoring and God-glorifying. And I just can't imagine what our church, what God can do in our church as we become a grumble-free zone, a group of people. We don't grumble about each other. We don't gripe and complain about each other. If it's not serious enough to go to someone in their face, then we drop it and we forgive. Amen? And that would make us pretty different. It really would. But that would be awesome. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, Lord, for working in my life and working in my heart. Lord, I thank you for giving me the courage just to kind of share with the church family some of the insights that you've been teaching me lately. And I do pray, Lord, that you would help me to continue to grow in this area, Lord. It is very difficult on a daily basis to act so different than the way everybody else is acting, to respond and to cope with my pain and my hurt in a different way. But I do pray that you continue to work on me and to continue to refine me. Forgive me, Lord, for those times when I failed you, even recently. I pray, Lord, for our church family that you would help us to grow in this area, to become more humble and more patient, more forgiving, less critical of others, to not grumble, to not cope with our pain in that way. Lord, take this message and whatever it is you want each person in this room to do, make it very clear to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming today. We're going to start a new sermon series next week, The Cost. And I hope y'all be with us as we continue to study God's Word together. God bless you.